The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Well, hello there. This is Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Our State magazine. Today's reading of Our State is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974 and underwriting our podcast for over 15 years. Thank you, Carter Glass. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. And now, it's time to break the cover on a brand new issue of Our State magazine celebrating North Carolina. This one for June 2023. You know, they have themes, and some of them are repeating, and there are little variations, and this would be the coastal issue. It's called Coastal Legends this year. Love the coastal issue, because I love the coast of North Carolina. And the subtitle says, Our Guide to 50-plus Tried and True Places We Love, Remember, and Return To. That sounds like fun to me. If we get a chance to it, there's articles on fried perfection in Calabash and Fisherman's Haven in Hatteras. And here's a picture of Clyde Phillips Seafood on the cover. But first, we always start with the From Elizabeth column by Elizabeth Hudson, the editor-in-chief. And she is entitled this one, Fish on Fridays. Every Friday, my mom orders a seafood plate. Fried flounder, baked potato, slaw, hush puppies, somewhere at Olympic Family Restaurant in Colfax, Sanibel's in High Point, or Walkertown Seafood Shack. She and a few of the women in our neighborhood, all of them widowed, get together for supper. My mom joined the group several years ago after my dad died. I'm grateful that she's included, that she has a group of friends to share a meal with, and I love how excited she gets every week in her morning text to me. Fish day today, she always writes. And by late afternoon, my phone dings with a photo of her plate of golden brown fish. It's her way of sharing the moment with me, too. In 1960, when my mom was 10 years old, she took her first trip to the coast. Together with her mom, dad, and brothers, she headed to Carolina Beach. My mom couldn't swim, so she waited anxiously at the water's edge as her dad, young, strong, and fearless, waded into the ocean. He ventured out so far that she could barely see him, submerged to his shoulders, bobbing with the waves crashing around him. My mom stood motionless, wide-eyed, until the ocean safely delivered him back to shore. The family stayed together, stayed out on the beach all day, gathering shells and digging for sand crabs, and by late afternoon, salt water drying on their lips, their shoulders rosy, her dad told them, "Okay, if y'all youngins will be good, we'll go for fish." They piled into his turquoise Ventura. He'd been a Fireball Roberts fan in the Pontiac years, and stopped somewhere, Mrs. High's dining room maybe, or Fairclaw's seafood, for scallops and shrimp and steamed oysters, and yes, for fried flounder, before making the long drive home. Every year now, she and I take a weekend beach trip, just the two of us, somewhere. Wrightsville Beach, Oak Island, Emerald Isle. After that first trip 60 years ago with her family, my mom didn't travel much, and it's been a joy for me to explore coastal towns with her. We've gone shelling for sand dollars at Hammocks Beach State Park, eaten our weight in chocolate from the fudge boat in Carolina Beach, and cruised along Federal Road in a golf cart on Bald Head Island. And while we've chosen a different town to visit every year, the one thing that never changes is our last night's supper at a seafood restaurant, somewhere before we make the trip back home. This year, we spent a week in Calabash, We shopped in Callahan's and ate butter pecan ice cream from the rocking chairs at Calabash Creamery. And in the evening, we slid into a booth at Ella's, a place that opened the year my mom was born, taking a seat just beneath the photo of Ella High herself and a framed menu from 1960. I don't remember my grandfather on my mom's side. He died when I was 2. But seeing that menu on the wall triggered childhood memories from my mom, and we shared our basket of hush puppies. She recalled the story of her family and of growing up, of hardships and happiness. I could picture it all. When we left, my mom took a photo of the Ella's sign out front so she'd remember coming here, and I took a photo of the two of us so I would remember, too. Well, now is the time to take a look and see what the Our State photo essay is for this month, and you can bet it's about the coast, so I'm going to like it. The Beach Road, a stop-by-stop guide to exploring North Carolina Highway 12. And that is not the part of the beach that I'm familiar with, so it'll be even more interesting to learn more about it. From its northernmost point in Corolla to its southernmost terminus on Cedar Island, this scenic byway, bound between sound and sea, links the islands and communities of the Outer Banks. Written by Katie King, and photography is done by Chris Hannant. This three-quarter page spread says, with Pamlico Sound to the west and the Atlantic Ocean to the east, North Carolina Highway 12 extends north of Buxton toward Avon, just visible in the distance. And that's what we see here. We can tell which side the ocean is, because you can see all the foamy waves coming up on shore. And there's a single track of tires going down there, or I should say one track of double set of tires. And on the other side of the road, there's not really much beach over there, but that's where the road is. And, of course, there are dunes between the open ocean and the road. And you can see the power lines going down there also, and as they say, in the distance. First, we talk about Corolla, right up at the north. Currituck Beach Lighthouse, first lit in December 1875, just northernmost lighthouse, is one of only a few in the country that still uses its original Fresnel lens. Those who climb the 220 steps to the top are rewarded with views of Currituck Sound, the Atlantic Ocean, and the village below tucked among the trees. Several photos and captions here. The Corolla Greenway. To experience Highway 12 from a different perspective, trade four wheels for two. Part concrete and part boardwalk, the mostly shaded bike path follows the road for about 10 miles, bordering wind-twisted maritime forest and passing some of Corolla's attractions. And we've got a family coming along a section here under great big trees that have very long branches coming out all the way to the roadway. And then there's the North Beach Access Road. From Corolla Beach, Highway 12 emerges from the sand as if rising from a tunnel beneath the ocean. Just north of here, Corolla's famous wild mustangs make their home among the dunes. And there you can see it, the road ending right at the ocean. Historic Corolla Village, white clapboard and brown nags head-style cottages from the turn of the 20th century have been authentically restored into shops, restaurants, and offices. Among the highlights are the Corolla Chapel and the Art Nouveau-style Whalehead Mansion, which is a former duck-hunting retreat. So what this picture is, on the right-hand side, you've got the Currituck Beach Lighthouse, and it has kind of a sandy orange color brick on it, and then a black top where that Fresnel lamp is, and there's two windows that we can see on the side, and a little lighthouse keeper's shack, and it's all in a wooded area. And then beyond, we see an inlet from the bay, and it looks like it's all nicely propped up along the edges with appropriate dredging and what's the word I'm looking for? bulkheads. I guess that's what I'm looking for. And then on the other side of it is that whalehead mansion that they talked about. The one of the North Axis Beach Road, there's a fence on the right, and there's a car coming down, and everything just ends right there on the beach. And you can see a lot of cars have gone onto the beach because there's a lot of tire tracks out there. Overleaf, Ducktown Park Boardwalk. Duck's charming village features a few dozen businesses, including art galleries, gift shops, specialty food shops, outfitters, restaurants, and more. A boardwalk connects many of the Soundside storefronts and traces about a mile of marsh on the edge of Ducktown Park. Fish or catch crabs from the pier, launch a canoe, kayak, or stand-up paddleboard, or watch for waterfowl in this designated bird sanctuary. So we have a long boardwalk, which is raised up very, very high. I mean, it looks like good 20 feet above the water. And there's some folks walking along there. There's fences along the edge, and they are closely picketed enough that kids can't slip through, like my son did once on somebody's deck. And then we have the water in the foreground and beyond, and then puffy clouds in the blue sky. Then there's Sanderling Resort. Enlist the help of an in-house adventure planner to arrange nearby activities by land, air, or sea, and stay in and enjoy the spa, beach bar, three pools, and two upscale restaurants. They're on Duck Road, sanderling-resort.com. All we get is two beach chairs and an umbrella and a look out the ocean in this picture. And down below, something delicious, Duck Donuts. This nationwide franchise started right here in Duck with fresh, hot donuts made to order with custom frostings, drizzles, and toppings in dozens of combinations. They're on Duck Road, and they're at duckdonuts.com. Going to turn that page. They look great. Avalon Pier. Since 1962, generations of families and fishermen have come to Avalon Pier to cast a line, grab a bite, and watch the sun set over the ocean. Lining the pier are dozens of bright blue memorial fish engraved with the names of visitors, a testament to the memories made here. They are in North Virginia Deer Trail, AvalonPier.com. Caption says, in June, anglers like Jeffrey Robinson, seen here, can catch sea mullet or puppy drum near the Avalon Pier. Start the day with breakfast and a Bacon Mary, B-A-K-O-N. I don't know what that is. I guess it's a variation of bacon, right? From the Jolly Roger restaurant, and later refuel with a Blues Burger from Arch Place. So the young man is down here on shore, and the pier towers above him going out quite a long way. Then we have several other spots. We have the Run Down Cafe. Named for a Jamaican fish soup called the Rundown, this restaurant has been serving global island fare made with local seafood and inspired by the team's travels to the Caribbean and the Pacific Rim since 1993, again on North Virginia Deer Trail, rundowncafe.com. Let's see what picture that one might be. I suppose we just get a little picture of a drink. It must be a Bloody Mary because it has a big stalk of celery with big leaves on it and then some eggs and bacon behind it. Then we got the Ocean Boulevard Bistro and Martini Bar. The 1948 Virginia Dare Hardware Building was transformed into a fine dining restaurant in 1995. Some original features are still intact, like steel ceiling beams from the Norfolk Navy Shipyard. Again, North Virginia Dare Trail. OBBistro.com. Art's Place, pictured here in big, colorful letters on his sign at the second level. When Art Stiles opened a restaurant and bake shop in 1978, he started a community institution. Through the Joy Fund, he helped hundreds of local families in need, earning his induction into the Order of the Longleaf Pine several years before he died in 2010. Art's Place, OBX.com. We just see the big sign in the second open level and somebody sitting in a chair on the first level under a covered area. Looks like they might have some ceiling fans there. And then we have the Jolly Roger Restaurant. The menu at this 51-year-old restaurant, from breakfast to late-night drinks, is as eclectic as the decor, a mix of Christmas lights, pirate statues, coastal murals, and old-timey movie posters. Jolly Roger, OBX.com. They're showing a delicious burger here. Aha! Kildevil Hills, the Wright Brothers National Memorial. Self-taught engineers Orville and Wilbur Wright forever changed the skies with their first successful flights in Kitty Hawk in 1903. At their memorial park, trace their flight path, see a reconstruction of the camp where they lived, learn about their flight experiments through interactive exhibits, and examine a please-touch sculpture of the Wright Flyer. And the picture here says, south of the monument on Big Kildevil Hill, Orville Wright takes flight on his bronze and steel replica while Wilbur guides the wing and onlookers cheer. And these look like they are stone statues, or I don't mean stone, bronze statues or whatever, of the team. And there's the plane some distance from them as they are cheering it on. Nag's Head, Seagreen Gallery. Family of artists turns what many might see as trash, old license plates, driftwood, discarded glass, antique home goods, into colorful, whimsical pieces. Rabbits, a Chinese water dragon, a cat, a dog, and a duck often roam in the garden out back. They're on South Virginia Deer Trail at seagreengallery.com. They have, apparently they took a lot of license plates and cut them up vertically and then put them back together again to make words like smile and waves and ocean and nags and yui and fish. And they're all on the wall there right in front of an, like a doctor's scale, the type they use in the doctor's office with a weight that slides across. And then it talks about the Surf and Spoon. In the 1960s, customers at the former Jockey Ridge restaurant tipped servers by sticking money into the ceiling slats. When pro surfer Jesse Hines and his wife Whitney opened a frozen yogurt bar there in 2012, they continued the tradition, donating the money to the nonprofit Surfing for Autism. South Virginia Trail and the website is Surfin', no G, spoon.com. So it really looks weird. It's showing some people here dining on something while sitting on some benches in the restaurant. And the ceiling looked like it has little fly swatters or something like that. Not swatters, but you know those tapes that you put to collect the flies? It looks like that. They're everything sticking down from the ceiling. It's really odd, and I guess I have to say it's not a particularly attractive look. But if they're collecting money that way for a good cause, then let it be. Jockey Ridge State Park. Mountains of sand extend as far as the eye can see at the tallest living sand dune on the East Coast. The desert-like landscape calls to adventurers armed with sandboards, sleds, and hang gliders, and to kids who just want to roll down the sandy, shifting slopes. They're on West Carolista Drive. And very long, very, very long website address, so we won't read it. The Cavalier Surf Shop, in a bright, small, yellow building, one of the Outer Banks' oldest surf shops, established in the early 1960s, offers surf lessons and board rentals alongside all sorts of beach gear. There in South Virginia Deer Trail Road, CavalierSurfShop.com. And they don't have a picture of that. Then they have the Tar Heel Motel. This old school motel was renovated into a modern destination with retro touches like historical photos and vintage postcards. Rooms decorated reflect the 1950s and 60s and their name for local fish and waterways. TarHeelOBX.com. Here is one of those old postcards. It says, "Take a dip in the Atlantic, Nag's Head, Kitty Hawk, North Carolina." There's a colorful beach umbrella stuck in the sand in the front with a blanket extended and maybe some lunch or something on that. And then people dressed in bathing suits of the time, as I don't see any bikinis in this picture. for some people wading out into the water. And then there's a big picture of Jockey Ridge's State Park here. It says Nag's Head at the bottom, and we see six people that have walked away from the camera, and we see all of their footprints extending along the sand. And you know, it's interesting because the wind comes up and it gives the sand a pattern. It looks like little waves, very, very evenly spaced. I mean, you wouldn't want to draw that out by hand. It would be very difficult. But this is what nature does, and they have just disrupted that pattern. And overnight, nature will probably fix it back up again. Again, Nag's Head, the Mark Basnight Bridge. Heralded as a marvel of engineering, the new bridge connecting Body and Hatteras Islands, completed in 2019, was designed to withstand the turbulent waters of Oregon Inlet. Stretching for 2.8 miles, the bridge replaced the iconic 1993 Bonner Bridge, which has found new life, literally, as an artificial reef. So I believe they knocked it down and let it go into the water, and it became an artificial reef. And I do remember how many times that road was closed due to storms. And so hopefully that won't happen again, at least not on the Mark Basnight Bridge. Picture of it here. It really is a very long bridge. There are cars in the foreground, and the bridge just keeps going and going and going till I can't see it anymore. Nag's Head Piers. Having withstood time, tides, and tempests, Nag's Head Fishing Pier, Jeanette's Pier, which is pictured here, and the Outer Banks Fishing Pier offer family fun and endless views of the ocean, just as they have for decades. It's a great big building with a pier attached and some folks on the beach looking out at the ocean. Body Island Lighthouse, separated from the highway by a large freshwater marsh. This lighthouse is easily missed if you're not paying attention. At 156 feet tall, it's well worth a stop to climb to the top, learn about its history. This third iteration was completed in 1872, and admire its picturesque setting among the pines. Nice shot of it here across lots of marsh and a little freshwater inlet there. The Body Island is a white, black, horizontally striped one. When I say stripes, they're very broad stripes because there's only five of them that reach up to the top, which, of course, is also black and has the light above. So that sounds like an interesting place to visit. Rodanthe and Avon, Oregon Inlet Life-Saving Station. From the Bonner Bridge Pier, a remnant of the old bridge, a short walk through the dunes leads to this 1898 life-saving station. The building is empty now, but the exterior is well-preserved, part of an iconic landscape on the Outer Banks. One of the longest URLs I've ever seen, so we aren't going to read that. The building looks really nice and in good condition. It's a two-story building, dormer windows on the second floor, and on the front of it, there's a tower that's built in with it's square at the top and walk around at the outside the windows up there with a picket fence all around it and a big open porch on that end of the building also. Then we've got the Chicamacomico Life-Saving Station. This museum and historic site, built in 1874, the first of seven life-saving stations in North Carolina, includes two restored stations, cookhouses, a stable, water towers, and stories and artifacts from the early days of ocean rescue. And we have the Pea Island National Wildlife Refuge, nearly 6,000 acres providing habitat for the more than 370 species of birds that nest or overwinter on our barrier islands. Spot snow geese, tundra swans, and other shorebirds and waterfowl on a hike through the marsh from a kayak or during programs at the visitor center. And they are at North Carolina Highway 12, again, a kind of an odd URL. It's too long to bother to pronounce and too complicated, I'm afraid. Here is an aerial picture taken from the ocean side toward land, Cape Hatteras National Seashore. Stretching more than 70 miles from Body Island to Ocracoke, Cape Hatteras National Seashore encompasses some of the most pristine natural beauty in the Outer Banks. With limited development, the beaches attract nesting birds and sea turtles, not to mention vacationers in search of a little piece of heaven. NPS.gov/CAHA. And we see two kayakers out here just beyond, unfortunately for them, where the waves are breaking. And then we see a long, long strip of land. And then we see a canal behind that. And then all of the houses beyond that. How about Buxton Kite Point? With its consistent breezes, easy access, and shallow waters that extend for hundreds of feet, this unmarked beach on the Sound north of Hollover parking lot attracts world-class kiteboarders and spectators who come to see them fly across the water on their colorful rigs. Outerbanks.com/kite-point.html. And there's one of those right now coming in and some people watching from the shore. Late in the afternoon, so it's pretty dark. Can't see a lot of detail. The Inn on Pamlico Sound is a 13-year-old boutique hotel which is quaint and spacious, casual and luxurious all at once. Many of the rooms overlook the Sound, as do the outdoor pool and Cafe Pamlico, the on-site fine dining restaurant. A North Carolina Highway 12, name, Inn on, that's Inn, oh, I get it, Inn, I-N-N, on PamlicoSound.com. And it says on the western side of Hatteras Island, Kite Point and the dock at the Inn on Pamlico Sound are perfect spots to watch the sun set. And then we have the infamous Cape Hatteras Lighthouse, rising 198 feet above the landscape. America's tallest brick lighthouse is also one of its most iconic, with its red base and black and white swirl pattern climbing like a vine up its sides. Built in 1870 to protect ships from the treacherous Diamond Shoals, the Cape Hatteras Light was moved inland in 1999 so that it could be protected from the encroaching waves. I do remember that. That was a heck of a project. If you remember reading about it and watching on the news, they built a track from the beach to its current spot, and they moved it ever so slowly so that they hoped it would not fall over. And it didn't. Worth visiting. We end up with Frisco and Hatteras. The Hatteras Snowballs, they're showing a picture of that here, which is ice cream, a frozen concoction. Scotch Bonnet Fudge and Gifts. The Hatteras Harbor Marina. The Graveyard of the Atlantic Museum. Pictures here of the Ocracoke Ferry and some of the shops, and then gets into Ocracoke on itself with the Ocracoke Pony Pens and some close-ups of some of them. Ocracoke Village, Ocracoke Beach, Ocracoke and Cedar Island. You see, I only got through, this is an exceptionally long photo essay, so we just don't have time to cover it all here. And it ends with a picture of the Ocracoke Lighthouse, taken at night. The lighthouse is shining brightly against the bluish-purple sky. A wonderful shot. Well, that's all the time we have for today's episode of Our State Magazine. I hope you enjoyed it, and that you'll be sure to listen next time. I'm Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's reading of Our State Magazine was underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving our community since 1974. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Our State Magazine is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Comments, questions, please call the studios, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.